Lozar woke with Jari pulling at his arm. His head felt the size of a Humri drum and pounded like one, too.
What's going on?
What is going on is that you and a bunch of unbeliever ruffians you drink with came in staggering drunk last night. You went out again after the betrothal dinner, and now there's an emergency.
Oh, my head hurts.
I hope it bursts.
He peered up at her. She looked really angry, not mild and forgiving as a wife should.
You disgraced the family. You brought those men home. You insisted they stay to dinner. If Pasandir breaks the betrothal, it would not surprise me.
But they were happy for me. They are my friends.
She looked ready to cry now. Jari crying had always melted his heart.
Oh, and you smelled of liquor even before the dinner began. How could you? They are not even believers. How can you call them friends?
Lozar rolled over and pushed himself up to sit on the edge of the bed. Pain lanced through his eyeballs. He tried to remember what he had drunk after they headed out to celebrate. Something they called Shiny Bock. He regretted not sticking to the same green stellar special he was used to.
Oh, hurry up! Whatever it is, it's important!
He tried to stand, staggered onto her. A hard elbow in the ribs finally got him upright.
I'm coming. I need a shower.
No time. The red lights are flashing.
A serious emergency then. He stumbled into the fresher, his stomach churning. He ran the water as hard as it would go, just to rinse off the smell, and put on the clothes Jari held out while still damp.
Here.
Still grim-faced, she held out a bulb of black liquid. No need to ask if she'd sweetened it or put in the stomach-protecting powder. He'd have to drink it black and bitter as the regrets of a fool, which is what he felt like. It ran down his throat in a fiery acidic wave, shocking him more awake. He looked again at his wife whom he loved.
I'm sorry.
You're a good man, Lozar, but you are too easily led. Friends, indeed.
They were friends, but he wasn't going to argue. Not all the Humods were bad people, the part of them that was people. It was only the non-human part that was bad. He hurried out of the apartment and down the passage toward his emergency station, his head still pounding.
What's going on?
Around him, others hurried as well, just like in drills. But traffic thinned even as he neared dockside. His emergency station, across the construction arm from his workplace, served ships within days of launch.
You look like you was run over by a cargo lift.
Jari looked disgustingly fit to Lozar's gaze, only a little red around the eyes.
Oh, how much did we drink?
David came up on his other side.
You. The right question is how much did you drink? And the answer is, you tried to match us. You know you can't do that, not without an implant to detox for you. You need a tab. Here.
With a quick look around for any proctors, he unpeeled a tab and pushed it into Lozar's hand.
No, it's not allowed.
Its little cloud of short-lived nanites was just another form of humodification, according to their cleric.
It's an emergency. What kind of god is it that won't forgive you when it's an emergency? Come on, Lozar. We need you alert, and you ain't within a kilometer of alert.
Lozar palmed the tab into his mouth. He imagined he could feel the illicit little demons. They were, in the law, the same as demons, crawling through his taste buds into his bloodstream. He shuddered. In moments, the sour taste in his mouth vanished. His stomach no longer burned. His vision sharpened.
Did that have other...
Oh, just a little stimulant. No, I promise you the nannies are short timers. Gone in 5 minutes.
The sirens stopped while he was in the crank. He came out to the bustle of crews forming and heading out. His shift boss waved.
Katanji, over here. Look at all you fellas without implants.
Some scut work, no doubt. Something low-level for the supposedly handicapped pure humans. Lozar looked around for Jari and David, but they were in another group now.
This is an attack, not a drill. Remember that broadcast? They want our ships. We think they're trying to control them remotely, and we have to stop them. The first people we sent in collapsed. Apparently there's some kind of electronic attack aimed at cranial implants. You, Ms. Nairi, I don't have to worry about that. We need you to get aboard and disable the controls.
Lozar's stomach clenched. He looked sideways. Simsan Atara, a member of his congregation, looked back, face shining with pride. Real humans were going to do what humans couldn't. Miznarii were about to be the heroes, about to be recognized.
You can figure out what's causing the attack on implants, turn it off, destroy it. Doesn't matter how much damage you do. Can't let these guys get the ships. Gotland and Pelina, take Dock 1. Sarangia and Metabolus, Dock 2.
As he called the names, Miznarii at the front of the group moved up, picked up some kind of tool case, and headed down the row to the designated docking spaces. Lozar, at the back of the group, went to Dock 30 with Vinaji Pestanza, trying to remember the shift boss's hasty instructions. Turn on the e-scanner on entry, report any anomalies, moving directly from the entry to the control nexi in the ship's axis. Behind them trailed an insulated cable like a slick black tail, a hardened communications line supposedly proof against EC interference. Vinaji held the hardened communications device. Lozar carried the tool case and its probe. Vinaji turned to look.
What is that?
Lozar grinned at Vinaji and gestured for him to kill the microphone.
It's proof a Miznarii worked on the ship.
How did you know that?
I put it there. I put them on every ship, like a seal that says, a Miznarii worked here. That it doesn't take humans to build spaceships.
Let me see.
Lozar put the probe directly on the data dot and turned the screen so Vinaji could read it.
It doesn't say we worked on it.
Of course it does. I've read them. Aramad showed me.
Look!
On the screen, instead of the pious message Lozar had seen before, lines scrolled past. Status section 14.3 complete. Status section 14.4 complete. Status section 14.5. Control initiation code 112. Code 297. Code 410. Lozar's belly clenched. He felt cold all over.
What is that?
There's nothing good. Lozar, what did you do?
I didn't. Elder Margie told me I should talk to Aramad, and he said for this service to the faithful, I would be paid a little for my trouble and the risk I was taking.
But this... Lozar, these things you put on, how many? They are harming the ships.
I don't understand.
How many?
One by the entry hatch, so the faithful coming aboard...
The expression on Vinaji's face stopped him.
Altogether, 7. One here, one blessing, one on the casing for each control nexus, one on the bridge.
Burn it out! Burn them all out quickly! I can't believe you! Lozar, you are so stupid!
Vinaji yanked on the trailing cable.
I have to think how to say it so they don't blame us all.
Ears burning, Lozar pushed the nozzle of the probe onto the data dot and pushed the button he'd been told to. A trickle of smoke rose. He moved into the ship, to the next site, half scared and half angry.
Did the Ahmad lie to me? Surely not. Holy men do not lie. Did someone lie to the Ahmad? That must be it. Miznarii do not lie. Miznarii do not break the law. Miznarii do not break rules.
The memory of the tab he had taken, the demonic nanites he'd put in his mouth, rose to mock that assertion. Lozar stopped again, this time at a cross corridor. He had placed no data dots here. He ran the probe up the walls and found something that showed up on the screen as EMP emitter, strength 9.2. He wanted to ask Vinaji what to do, but Vinaji had not come with him. He decided to burn it out, whatever it was. The probe found another on the other side of the passage, and then another. 4 in all. Now the screen said, no further EMP risk. Surely that was something he should report. Maybe workers with implants could come aboard now. Maybe now his handcom would work. Lozar pulled it out, flicked it on, and the little light came up, bright and blue. But they hadn't given him a code number to call. They'd just said the handcoms wouldn't work if implants didn't. He stood, wondering whether to call.
Vinaji, at last.
But it was not Vinaji. It was Jerry and David, and two younger men he'd seen in the Rigger's Friend but didn't know, all carrying tool cases like his.
David, Jerry, I do not think it will hurt you now. I burned out the EMP emitter.
David shook his head.
You poor, stupid, mizzy bastard. You don't even know what you've done.
And now we're in trouble because you're our drinking buddy. Other guys got assigned to weapons, back up to station defense. They might even get to shoot at something with real, actual missiles. We get stuck coming in here after you. By the time we get back, there won't be any weapons positions left.
Buford, take his toolcase.
Buford slouched forward. Lozar clutched the toolcase to his chest.
But I didn't mean anything bad. The Ahmad said...
Ahmad? That slimeball bastard sold out the station.
Buford, don't talk trash about religion. It may not be our religion, and it may be a stupid religion to us, but Lozar takes it seriously.
He said it was just to show that Ms. Nadia could build ships, at least in part, without modification. He showed me the dot readouts. They said we had worked on the ships, and that was all.
But that's not what they say now, is it? How do you think that happened?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't do it. That's all I know.
Are you sure the dots you placed all read the same as the one he showed you? Did you read them all?
Lozar stared.
Of course not. I do not have a dot reader at home, and I could not take the time at work. Surely you do not think the Ahmad...
What does it matter? I don't care which Mizzy did it. Fact is, ships are all infected.
Take it easy, Buford. Let the man talk.
Did you get the rest of them on the ship?
Not yet. My detector bleeped, and I found 4 EMP emitters here at this crossway.
We ought to beat the stuffing out of this Mizzy bastard.
The other man nodded, fists bunched.
Just hold on there, boys. Other things are more important right now.
Come on, Lozar. Show us where those other dots are. We'll help you burn them out. We'll worry about who did what later.
Lozar set off toward the core control nexi, very aware of the 4 big determined men behind him. He could imagine what Jari would say. He could imagine the betrothal dissolving, his poor daughter remaining unmarried for life because of her father's disgrace. Worse, he could imagine the anger of the non-Miznarii, so obvious in Buford, his family abused, even killed, because of what he'd done.